All right, and welcome back to another edition of the Locked On College Football Podcast. He is Jonah Tools. I am Jordan Reed, and we are proud to be back to bring you another episode of the Locked On College Football Podcast. It is Friday. We have a lot of special things planned for you guys. But first, Jonah, I didn't put this on the show notes just because your team made a big trade today, I believe it was. Michael Bennett coming over from the New England Patriots to the Dallas Cowboys for a conditional seventh-round pick. And I know you put an article out on the Draft Network, but I just want to get your overall thoughts on the trade and how this can help the Cowboys.
Yeah, and so I think the best translation of this trade is that the Dallas Cowboys traded a bag of chips for Michael Bennett, right? I mean, right. A 2021 conditional seventh-round pick, that's basically a player who's a long shot to make the team anyways. So if you're going to get any flash of the Pro Bowl defensive end we saw in Seattle, you make this trade all day long, and this is a big steal for the Cowboys. And here's the thing. People are bringing up all the locker room issues and how he got altercation with assistant coaches in New England. And I'm saying this. If it blows up in your face, just cut bait with him. It's a 2021 seventh-round pick. There's right. literally no risk in this deal. I love it. I love that the Cowboys are taking chances. And I think this trade could have a huge payoff, especially with Tyrone Crawford out for the year.
Definitely. And we've seen DeMarcus Lawrence has had a bit of a down year. I believe he got his first sack last week. So he has a bit of a slow start. Robert Quinn has shown a lot of flashes this year, and he's really been the best defensive lineman amongst the Cowboys group so far this year. So Michael Bennett is definitely going to bring some much needed depth. And I'm really excited to see how this move does turn out. And I think you're spot on. It's a conditional seventh round pick and a guy that's definitely a long shot to make the team. So why not take a shot on Michael Bennett, and hopefully he can help you make that type of playoff run that we think the Cowboys can make. And we've all seen how great defensive line depth can be and how much it can be helped, or how much it can help down the backstretch of the year and leading into the playoffs and hopefully an eventual playoff run for the Cowboys. So I'm a big fan of the move, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. But on tap today, we're going to do a full rundown of our top four, college matchups of the weekend. We're going to get into Wisconsin against Ohio State, Auburn against LSU, Notre Dame and Michigan, and we'll finish up with Cal against Utah. And then we'll get into a flex topic that we don't want to reveal until we get to that point. So starting at the top with the matchup of the week, even though it did lose a little bit of its luster because Illinois upset Wisconsin last week, but the big matchup of the week is Wisconsin against Ohio State. And of course, the highlighters are the heavy hitters in this matchup. Of course, Jonathan Taylor leads the Badgers attack, rushing attack. Definitely a guy that sits atop most Heisman campaign ballots early on just because of the yards that he has put up this year. He's had 100 yards in every single game that he has played in this year, and he's having a fantastic year so far. And Ohio State, we know, headlined by Justin Fields on offense and the plethora of weapons that he does have on the perimeter. And we all know who headlines that defense is really two players, but you have to start with Chase Young. He's been unblockable this year. And in the secondary, you have to go with Jeffrey Okuda leading that unit. So I'm going to open up the floor to you. Who are some players that you're looking forward to, or maybe a matchup, a one-on-one matchup that you're looking forward to in this game?
Yeah, so in all these games, I really highlighted one individual matchup, right? And I think Jonathan Taylor versus Baron Browning is the really one I want to look at. I think Browning's going to play. I think a lot of Ohio State people expect him to come out there and go. But Taylor, it's really crazy to think that a 4,000-yard rusher as a true junior helped himself more than any running back prospect this season, I think. And right, I mean, this is a guy who is probably in the RB2, RB3 range. I don't think many people had him as a top running back going into this season. And I think a lot of that was, you know, around his inability to make plays as a pass catcher. But so far this season, he's had 4 touchdowns. You know, it's crazy to think about how much production he's had. He didn't log a single receiving touchdown in those 2 seasons. But now he came as a junior, he has 4. And I think he's really solidifying himself and separating himself as the top running back in this class with his speed, his power, and now what he's showing in the passing game. He looks like he has the complete skill set. Now for Browning, this is a guy who's probably one of the top 5 most talented linebackers in the entire country. He has legit 4-5 speed. And he's really always had this combination of really excellent range and power, but he's never really accentuated those traits because he's always relying on his athleticism as opposed to his instincts and reads. But now he's starting to be more confident in his processing. You've seen a breakout season from him, and I think he's following that trend of Ohio State linebackers like Jerome Baker, Darren Lees, the guys who have had success in the NFL because of their athleticism. So it's going to be really interesting to see these two go toe-to-toe, especially in between the tackles. But more importantly, sideline to sideline, I want to see how Browning shapes up against Taylor. But it's all depending on Browning being healthy, because if he's healthy, it'd be one match without their eyes glued to the television screen.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I want to see Chase Young in this game. And I say Chase Young just because we know exactly what he can be as a pass rusher. And he has been unblockable this year for the most part. But we know the Wisconsin ground-and-pound attack, they're going to test him as far as a run defender. So I want to see how well he plays against the run in this game, just because I think that is a withstanding question mark with him, just because we haven't seen him do it a whole bunch or been required to do it a whole bunch, just because of Ohio State has been up in a lot of games this year. So he's been able to pin his ears back and really rush the passer to oblivion in a sense. And he's been unblockable for the most part. So I'm really interested to see if the Wisconsin offensive line, I should say, is able to wear him down, and if he is able to withstand or weather the storm of that ground-and-pound attack that the Badgers are going to constantly put so much stress on him about. So keep an eye on Chase Young, Jonathan Taylor, of course, and there's plenty of other prospects playing in this matchup as well. But I want to move on to the next matchup, Auburn-LSU. Definitely the top matchup of the week, I would say, now that Wisconsin has lost to Illinois. Two top 10 ranked teams, I should say. LSU is the second ranked team in the country, while Auburn is currently the number 9 ranked team in the country. And we have Joe Burrow playing in this game. We know how much of a hot streak he is on currently. But the matchup that I'm looking forward to the most in this game is Auburn's defensive line against LSU's offensive front. Auburn's defensive line is led by Derrick Brown. We know what he brings to the table as far as his brute strength and how he's able to withstand and hold down both A gaps, but he also shows plenty of explosiveness as well. And that seems to be a common misconception about him. He's not just a stout run defender. He can be very productive as a pass rusher as well. But it isn't just Derrick Brown. You also have Marlon Davidson, who had a really good game last year, and also Nick Coe. And both of those guys are very underrated right now. And also Big Cat Bryant, Markevious Bryant. That Auburn defensive front is very, very talented. But on the opposite end, you have LSU's offensive front led by Lloyd Cushenberry, who I'm a huge fan of, right at the middle, at the center position. So LSU has a very talented offensive front. They've done a great job of keeping Joe Burrow upright. So the battle in the trenches is what I'll have an eye on the most in this game. But what about you? Who are some matchups that you're looking forward to in this game?
And I'm glad you mentioned Cushenberry, because I wanted to ask you a question about Cushenberry and Derrick Brown. Does Cushenberry have the most to gain of any prospect across the country this week, going up against top 20 pick probably next April and Derrick Brown? Like, do you think he has the most to gain of any prospect across the country this
week? Oh, without question. And I say that because I think he's at a bit of a disadvantage in this game, just because Derrick Brown relies so much on his strength and his bull rushing going vertically up the field. And that's really the opposite of what Cushenberry's game is. He's more of a zone scheme type of offensive lineman that really wins with angles and his athleticism. So I want to see how well his anchor holds up in this game, because it's definitely going to be tested with Derrick Brown. That's a matchup that I definitely have a red dot beside as far as watching on my TV screen this weekend. So Cushenberry is a guy that really isn't a notable name right now, but as we get closer to April, I definitely think he could position himself to be a day two type of prospect, a very early day two type of prospect with a really good showing and finishing strong this year.
And the individual matchup I really want to highlight here is Prince Tagovailoa versus Kalevon Chasen, right? I mean, these are two guys I think who are parallel, you know, in terms of their NFL draft projections. These are guys who are physical standouts, long players, guys who really passed the eye test and are excellent flash players. You watch their highlights, they both look like top 10 picks. But when you watch the entire game tape, you see flaws in their technique and skills stuff that really holds them back from a potential perspective, right? So to me, Chase's bread and butter is his speed off the edge, his juice. He's really a one-trick pony, but he's really good at that one trick. And he uses that long arm rush really well. So he uses his length and his speed, his natural gifts. Wanago's the exact same deal. He uses his length and he uses his foot quickness. He moves extremely well for a 6'7" tackle, and he uses that length to really neutralize that rushers off the edge. Neither player really has a lot of nuance in the game, so it's going to be really interesting to see who wins that battle, because they're really similar in how they play and how they win. So I'm really interested to see them go toe-to-toe in this one.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you mentioned that matchup because Prince Tagovailoa, I'm really interested in him, and I think the NFL is really going to value him very highly. Maybe not the first round, but the top of the second round, I definitely think he could position himself to be in that range just because the NFL loves athletic offensive tackles.
100%.
We've seen it with Colton Miller. We saw it with Brian O'Neill with the Vikings a couple of years ago, and we've seen some other guys go very high as well. And I think we're going to see some other guys go high this year as well. And Prince Tega is the guy that I would say he probably may not have the upside of a Tristan Wirfs or Andrew Thomas, but as far as a pass protector, I think he's right up there with them. And NFL teams are going to feel as if they can mold his run blocking, but he already is a natural pass protector. And a lot of NFL teams see that as the most important piece just because it is unteachable or uncoachable. Either you have it or you're not, or you don't as a pass protector. And I think that's something that is going to work in Prince Tega with no-goes. I think that's going to be in his corner when teams come to evaluate him. So I will have a very keen eye on him, especially going against Calavon Chase. And I think that's a very good matchup for him to go against just because you're talking about two superior and explosive type of athletes. And I'm really interested in that battle, watching those two battle it out.
Yeah, and I want to remind our listeners about this NFL offensive tackle deal is that the NFL will draft offensive tackles a round or two early. We saw it last year with
Yes.
Titus Howard, Alabama State. So every time you see a mock draft or you see projections, always consider those offensive tackles, those athletic players. Prince Tega Wanego, really, he fits that. Like you said, we've seen guys like Colton Miller, Brian O'Neill. They go earlier than you expect because the NFL values those traits. And even though Wanego doesn't have that elite technical refinement like a guy like Andrew Thomas, he has just as good, I think, a physical skill. And I think the NFL will take the bait on that. So this is a huge game for his draft stock. If he wants to really cement his status as a first-round guy, I think having a good performance against Chaisson would be go a long way for him.
Right there with you. I think you're spot on with that. But moving on to our next matchup, it is Notre Dame against Michigan. Two very interesting teams this year. Notre Dame has been a bit up and down this year. We saw how they were plenty inconsistent against Louisville, but they've come on strong here lately. Michigan, they took a bad, or no, I shouldn't say a bad loss, but they took a loss against Penn State last week, a matchup that a lot of people had a very close eye on, and they just didn't look like themselves in that matchup. But once again, it's the one thing that has hampered Jim Harbaugh the most during his tenure back at his alma mater, and that's just not being able to win the big game. But once again, he has another big game on his slate, and that is against the Fighting Irish. But one matchup that I'm looking forward to in this game is Julian Okwara and Khalid Kareem against this Michigan offensive front. I want to see if they're able to dominate, especially against a Michigan offensive front that has not looked very good the past few weeks. And Okwara has been a bit down this year. He hasn't flashed as much as I would have liked. And Kareem has really kind of outshined him, even though he doesn't possess the upside of the traits that a lot of NFL teams are looking for, that high upside ceiling like Okwara does have. And I think he's going to end up being a first-round guy if he does end up testing well, just because of the traits that he does have. And NFL teams are going to feel like they can get some of those traits out of him as he continues to develop. But I want to see if they continue, or if I should say, if they're going to dominate this matchup and really flash as much as they should. But who are some other guys that you're looking forward to in this matchup?
Yeah, so I'm gonna flip the field here. I'm really looking forward to Notre Dame offensive tackle Liam Eichenberg and Michigan edge defender Josh Uche. And this will be a huge test for both prospects in the scouting world because Eichenberg is a long, efficient blocker who really thrives at the point of attack, but he struggles maintaining the corner against speedy rushers because really he has sloppy footwork in his pass sets. On the other side, Josh Uche, he's undersized at 6'2". But he really stands out with his flexibility and explosion off the edge and his ability to win the corner. So it's going to be interesting to see these two contrasting styles go up against each other because one has to give. Either Eichenberg's going to stonewall Uche with his length and his power, or Uche's going to be able to win the corner at will. Both could happen. So I'm really interested to see how this matchup plays out. And I think the scouting world's going to have a keen eye on this one, especially for Uche because he hasn't really dealt with a lot of length yet. And Eichenberg is one of the guys who really uses his length really well. And I think the NFL scouts will want to see him go up against a long offensive tackle because obviously that's what he's going to see in the NFL. This will go a long way for his stock as an edge rusher, believe me.
I'm with you. Uche is coming off a really good weekend. He's not a name that's really notable right now, but it seems like Michigan always has that undersized, high motor guy that just gets the job done. We saw it last year with Chase Winovich, And we're seeing it this year with Uche. So we'll see if he does end up dominating this matchup. And this is going to be a very interesting one just because I think out of all the matchups this week, there's a lot of good individual battles the most in this game. So I'm looking forward to this Notre Dame and Michigan game. But the next matchup that we'll get to is Cal and Utah. And the one matchup that I'm looking forward to is Tyler Huntley, Utah's quarterback, against the Cal secondary.
I'm interested in this one. This is a good one.
It definitely is. I'm looking forward to this one. And the Cal secondary is loaded. We know about Ashton Davis. We talked about him plenty. Cameron Bynum is another name that has came on really strong. Evan Weaver is a linebacker that has a lot of people excited as well. And I want to see how Huntley is able to adjust and how much success he can have against this Cal secondary. Is there any other matchups that you're looking forward to, or is this the one that you had down in your notes?
You just mentioned Evan Weaver, and this guy's had like a million tackles since he started his career at Cal.
Right.
He's going up against a guy named Zach Moss, who's probably going to be the top senior running back in this draft class. This guy is really rebounding from his knee injury, and I think he's really asserted himself as a top running back prospect because he has the speed, he has the power. He's a good pass protector. He really has the complete package. He just doesn't really have that one flashy trait, you know, that really separates himself from the ETNs, the Swifts, and the Taylors.
Right.
But I'm really interested to see Evan Weaver because the one thing with Evan Weaver is I'm not sure how good he is sideline to sideline. I know he can go in between the tackles because he has like 25 tackles a game. But I want to see him go outside the tackle box. So I want to see him chase down plays. So I'm really interested to see if Zach Moss – on outside zone runs, how Evan Weaver tracks those down. So this will be a big test for Weaver. But again, Zach Moss, this could be another resume game for him.
I'm excited about Moss just because injuries has always been the thing that has hampered him. But when he's been on the field, he's been so productive. And he's already in the top five of Utah Utes rushing totals, for career totals, I should say, just because it seemed like he's been there forever, right? It seems like he's been in the Utah uniform for 5 or 6 years, it seems like. And we've been waiting on him to come out into the draft for about 2 years now. But he's been injured. He's had to go back. And he had a real bad injury last year where he ripped his knee up a bit. And there was a lot of reports out there about how it happened and why it happened. But I'm happy to see him back. He's thrived a lot this year. And he's been hampered by some other injuries this year. But he's going to be back for this game. And I'm excited to see how he matches up against this Cal defense. But before we move on, I want to remind our listeners about MyBookie. MyBookie is the premier place to bet on all of your favorite pro and college football action every weekend. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and bet with the best at MyBookie. Visit MyBookie.ag today and use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Again, that's MyBookie.ag today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Now, our flex topic for today, and I threw this one in there just because I really wanted to get your opinion on this. Every year we talk about in a draft class, there's certain game changers, and we're seeing some this year already with Nick Bosa, Kyler Murray. There was two guys last year who really a lot of people labeled as game changers, or franchise changers, I should say, and we've already seen how both of those guys have been able to wreck games or change games in a sense, and now they've really altered their franchise in a sense. The Cardinals are off to one of their best starts in years, and after only winning two games, I believe it was last year, they've already won three, so they've already surpassed their total from a year ago, and then we already know that the 49ers are off to a red-hot start with their 6-0 start. Bosa looks incredible out there, and a lot of people are already labeling him as one of the best edge rushers in the game. We know how much polish he had as far as his hand usage, his explosiveness up the field, and how he's able to finish as a sack artist. But I wanted to ask you, with the 2020 draft class, who do you see as those franchise-type changing players?
Before I go into this, how many game changers did you have on your list?
So I had two definites.
Okay.
I only had two definites. How about okay. you?
So I have six names on here. Oh, I know that seems like a lot, but really I only have about two. If you're talking about true franchise-changing players, there's only two of them. And to me, those two players are Chase Young and Tua Tagovailoa. And I think those are the two top prospects in this draft. Chase Young, franchise-changing edge rusher. This guy has that Von Miller skill set where he can create a sack on any given play. Strong, powerful, fast, legit 4-5 speed. I mean, there's nothing else you can ask for in an edge prospect. He's He's not as technically refined as Nick Bosa coming out, but I think he's one of those guys where I think he's more athletically gifted. So I think he's a different kind of player. But at the same time, this guy's going to be super explosive, and this guy's going to be a double-digit sack guy when he enters the league, I think. Now, with Tua Tagovailoa, people are going to knock his physical traits, but this guy, from a quarterback perspective, does everything you want at the next level. Accuracy, ball placement, poise in the pocket, intangibles, leadership. I think this guy is the real deal, and I think people are going to panic about the ankle injury and him, you know, long-term durability. But for me, man, I think he checks all the boxes. And I think people are going to overthink him, and it might put Herbert over him or Burrow over him. I think Tagovailoa is the guy, and I think he's the guy that could really change a franchise around, like a Miami Dolphins or Cincinnati Bengals. But the other guys I mentioned here, these guys are kind of just like on the outside looking in, because there's only two real game changers, but I have six total names. The other four are Jerry Jeudy from Alabama. This guy is like, when you look at the Odell Beckhams, you look at the Amari Coopers and those guys, Jerry Jeudy has the potential to be one of those guys. And I think he has, I don't think he's going to be, you know, the fastest guy. I don't think he's going to be the most dominant catch point guy, but this guy has a chance to be one of the best route runners in the NFL. And I think I could see him that, you know, he has an Odell Beckham run after the catch kind of potential. So I really like Jerry Jeudy as a guy that can really make himself known as a top receiver in this league really quickly. Isaiah Simmons is my next guy from Clemson. And I've been on this train all year, man. This is a guy that I think is you wrote an article about him being a chess piece. This guy, you can move him all around the field. And here's the thing with him, because people are going to say, oh, scheme fit. Where do you play Isaiah Simmons? If you can't find a way to put Isaiah Simmons on the field and have him be productive, you need to find a new scheme. Because this guy is a freak athlete. This guy is proven to be stronger and better at the point of attack this year. So you know he can play a little more inside. So he's a monster in man coverage, too, with his length and his ability to move. I think Isaiah Simmons is the real deal. And I think he's going to change how we look at the linebacker position. I think he's a slam dunk top five pick in this draft. Andrew Thomas is my next guy. And, you know, even though he doesn't have the physical real skill set of Tristan Wirfs, not that kind of athlete, but he's super technically refined. And one of the things that offensive tackle, what you want, is just reliability. And I think this guy's going to be a reliable offensive tackle for the next 10 years. The last guy I want to mention is Jeffrey Okuda. And he might be a little more of a risk because he's, you know, not as experienced as all these other guys on this list. But he's a guy that I think if you take the skill sets of Denzel Ward, a former Ohio State cornerback, and Marshawn Lattimore, another Ohio State cornerback, you put them together, I think you get Jeffrey Okuda, a guy who moves well, physical, guy who plays the ball well. I know a lot of people said he didn't have much ball production in 2018. He's kind of remedied that in 2019. I think he's a complete package, and he's going to run somewhere in the 4.3s. This guy's the real deal. He'll go top 10.
Oh, without question. So I had two, but I really have two and four possible, if that makes sense.
Same so with me, man. I have six total.
Definites, two definites and a four possible. I have one that you didn't mention, and I'll get to that in a second. So my two definites are Chase Young and Tua Tagovailoa. I think both of those guys are going to be slam dunk prospects, and I think whichever team that they're drafted to, I think they're going to change it immediately, just like we saw with Bosa and Kyler Murray. My four possible were Okuda. I think the world of Jeffrey Okuda, he's going to end up, as long as he stays the course, he's going to end up being a top five prospect for me.
100%
because
agree. 100%
I think
agree.
He's not as good as Jalen Ramsey is, but I think he can have a similar type of effect that Ramsey did, if that makes sense. And I think he can completely shut down a side of a field just like Jalen Ramsey does. And he doesn't have as strong of a personality as Ramsey does, but he goes about it in a more quiet way than what Ramsey does. But I think as far as the upside and what he can be, I think he definitely can be a top five to top 10 cornerback.
And you know what's my one biggest weakness on Jeffrey Okuda is, and this is honestly a strength, is that he's only had 1 year of real experience as a starter.
Right.
And like, I mean, from a coverage standpoint and from a physical standpoint, there really isn't this one true knock on his game, yet he has elite traits that you can pull from. Man, I think Okuda's the real deal. You and I are on the same wavelength here on him. I think he's going to be a top five prospect for me on my draft board. I think he's the real deal. He's fast, he's long, he's physical, he's excellent man coverage, and he has the potential to keep getting better and better, but he's always had 1 year as a full-time starter.
Absolutely, and that's the scary part about him. He's really just scratching the surface of what he can be. And now we're seeing that ball production fall into place, and we're seeing multi-interception games like he had a couple weeks ago. And so against Nebraska, I believe it was, where he had two interceptions in
That's
that
right.
game. So I think he's going to be phenomenal, man. He's probably going to end up being my pet cast this year. Pet cast in the sense that he's going to be one of my favorite prospects this year. I'm a huge fan of Jeffrey Okuda. Jerry Jeudy, you mentioned him. I think he can have an Odell Beckham type of effect on a wide receiver corps, whoever does draft him, like you mentioned. And Joe Burrow is another guy that I think is very intriguing. He's trending in the right direction, and now we're seeing him get some number one overall pick steam, even though it's very early in the process and it's very premature. We haven't seen a rise from a junior to a senior quarterback, or a guy of a prospect of his stature from the quarterback position, have this type of rise ever. I don't think we've ever seen this before. But the one wild card I did have that you didn't mention that I think could be a franchise changer, as long as he goes to the right situation, I think it's Henry Ruggs III. And
absolutely. Absolutely.
I say that because how explosive he is and how he can change an offense in the blink of an eye. He has a Tyreek Hill-like of effect on the field to where he can bust a game wide open at any second. And any team, any offense needs that type of explosiveness on the perimeter just because it is so hard to guard. And you see the type of fits that Tyreek Hill gives defenses, how much stress he puts on defenses. And he's in a great situation with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, no doubt. But I think with half of the quarterbacks across the league, I think he would have a similar type of effect. Maybe his numbers wouldn't be as great just because of how great of a situation he is in. But as far as the explosiveness factor and the fear factor he brings to defenses, I think Henry Ruggs could bring that same type of scariness to a defense.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm honestly upset that I didn't mention him here, because if he, like you said, if he goes to the right situation, that offense might be unstoppable. I mean, think about it. He goes to, what happens if he, like, somehow went to New Orleans?
Right.
Yeah, Michael Thomas over the middle, like, he thrives in those short intermediate, in a short intermediate game. Drew Brees comes back for one more year, and he gets a guy like Henry Ruggs to be that bigger Tyreek Hill for them. Good Lord. How are you going to stop them with Alvin Kamara running the ball? It was in the flats. Michael Thomas running the comebacks and over the middle, and Henry Ruggs just taking the corner deep. You can't guard all these guys. So, Henry Ruggs is going to be one of those guys. I think if he can stay healthy, if he can continue the course, he is absolutely a game changer. But it depends, like you said, on the right situation.
You just have to pray they have an off day, or they just simply don't show up to the game. That's the only way you're going to stop those guys. But we had a really fascinating discussion today. I love the games that we highlighted, all four of them. And hopefully you guys took some notes down and some prospects that you may not have had an eye on before. Maybe we shed some light on some key matchups that you can keep an eye on this week. Also, our franchise changes. That's some type of flex topic that we're going to throw in every podcast. That's what we're here for. We want to inform you guys of what's going on and just our thoughts about everything. But that is our show. Our Friday show, we promised to be more engaging, but we're still warming up to you guys, and we're still getting in the flow of things. We're going to bring some guests on here in the coming weeks, and also we're going to get some more fan interactions with you guys' questions. But I am Jordan Reed. He is Jonah Tools. Thank you guys for listening to the Locked On College Football Podcast. We will see you guys next week doing a recap of everything. Once again, you can subscribe to us on Apple iTunes and any other podcast platform of your choosing. Make sure to leave a 5-star review and also follow us on Twitter @LockedOnCFB. Thank you, guys.